Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Hei, and we were right in the middle of discussing the recommendations of Rav Yehuda to be marich in tefillah. We finished. The next one was to be marich al shulchanai, which is where we're up to. And what is the point of being marich al shulchanai? Dimati aniya v'yoyivle. Because if an ani comes, that way he's got more of a chance to give tzedakah, to give him food. Dichtiv, we find that the Pasuk makes this point in Yechezkel, because first, the Malach is showing Yechezkel around, and he shows him the Mizbeach, eight shalosh ames, and then, after showing him the Mizbeach, he says, Zeh HaShulchan, Asher Lifnei Hashem. Is it a Mizbeach, or is it a Shulchan? So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both said that Kozman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam, the Mizbeach was the source of Kapara, but that Mizbeach is transformed into an eight, into a Shulchan. Because Shulchanor Shel Adam, after the Churban, where we don't have Korbonas, it's the man's table that is Iker Kapora in the amount of his things and his food that he shares with Anim. There was even a minig that they bring in France, that they used to turn their dining table into the coffin for the individual who owned that table at his death. As if to say that he can't take along anything else with him except the schuyas of his table and not the contents of his table. The third thing that Rabbi Yehuda says was spending a long time in the bathroom. Is that a good thing, to spend a long time in the bathroom? Vatanya. There's 10 things that cause a person to get hemorrhoids. If you eat the leaves or the branches of reeds, or vines, or lulavegifanim, those are probably the lulavim, are the new shoots. Umerigebeima, parts of animal meat, which is full of these uneven surfaces of ridge, like the tongue, or the backbone of a fish, or a salted fish that wasn't completely cooked, or if you drink shomresh yayin, you drink the lees of the wine, or somebody who wipes himself after the bathroom using lime or charsit, like we had in Masechet Kelim, which is ground up or pieces of broken pottery. Someone who wipes himself with a stone that had been used by someone else previously. And some say, and here's the problem with Rav Yehuda, somebody who squats too long in the Beit HaKiseh. It's just like, well, obviously. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda never said you should sit there squatting, where he was going to put on tremendous pressure on the rectum, and therefore it could cause hemorrhoids after all. So, hodamarich v'toli, hodamarich v'lotoli. All Rabbi Yehuda said was to make sure that you give yourself a chance to defecate properly. He never said that you're supposed to sit there making yourself sick. Kiha, we find that a certain matronisa said to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, that, you know, you guys, you really have very shiny faces. These matronisas were very fancy courtesan women in Rome. So she says, you shine so much that either you're making a living out of taking a tremendous amount of usury, because, you know, these people, they don't do anything. They just sit there collecting their ribis. Or you've got a nice parnasa, like selling pigs, you know. The people spend a lot of money on that. You don't have to, you just feed them with junk. And he said to her, listen here, Hemnusa, I promise you, Darvayo Asiri, we're not allowed to do either of those things. The reason I look so good is because between my house and the Beis HaMedrash, there are 24 different public bathrooms. I don't pass by one of them without checking myself to see if maybe I could use it. And therefore, Badikna Nafshay Bekulo. So what Rabbi Yehuda was really saying was this idea. Always, what's he saying? Literally spend a lot of time in the bathroom. He's saying always give yourself a chance to defecate as much as possible. Well, Rabbi Yehuda. Another thing Rabbi Yehuda said is that there's three things that make your life shorter, as opposed to those things that make your life longer. So, shlosha devarim mekatzrim yamav v'shnotav shel adam. And that is, somebody is called up to the Torah, and he refuses to read. He doesn't want to take an aliyah. Or somebody gives you a kosher brocha to say the brocha, and he refuses to take the kosher brocha. And the other one seems like the opposite. Somebody who takes a position of authority, and he takes on errors because of it. You know, it's these money got smoked, Berabanut, where do we see this? To say, for Torah likrot veinu kore, it says, ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. If you don't go for your orech yamecha, so you'll lose your life. Kol shel bracha l'vorech v'einu mevorech tichtiv v'avorecha mevorechecha. So if you take the kol shel bracha, you end up being mevorech to the balabayit and the besubim, and because of that, you're not zoicha to the v'avorecha mevorechecha. Manhigat smo berabanut, we see from Yosef Hatzad, the dom reb chama berabi chanina, mipnei ma meit Yosef kodim le'echav. Note that it says in the posik v'ayomas, Yosef v'chol echav v'chol ador ahu, it means Yosef died first, because he felt that he had no choice but to take on all of the chashivas of his position. There were also three things that you need specific tefillas for, and that is the fact that you should have a melech tov, a shana tova, and a chalom tov. Now this, of course, becomes the transition to the parak that is full of the nature of dreams. Again, on the multi-leveled structure of the Gemara, we'll talk about it in a moment. So the melech tov, dechsiv palgei mayim lev melech biyad Hashem. So just like things seem to be random, we've got water that's just flowing, it can flow in any direction. If you recognize that it's entirely biyad Hashem that you end up getting the right king, God help us. I mean, what's going on around the world with the possible figures that could be in positions of authority. It's a terrifying thing. So that requires a lot of tefillah. Shana tova, dechtiv tamid enei Hashem lokecha ba mireshit ha-shana ad acharit ha-shana. So you see that it comes from enei Hashem lokecha. And a chalom tov, dechtiv v'tachlimeni v'achayeni. So we're understanding v'tachlimeni instead of the simple meaning, which means to be strong, you strengthen me. We're reading it here, Vatachlimeni, you gave me a chalom, and that is from you. Speaking of things that require the reshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly, there are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the proclaimer of. Ra'av, sova, uparnastov. Ra'av, how do we know? Because it says, ki kara Hashem l'ra'av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls for the famine. That means that he announces it. Sova, Dichtive karati al adagan vihirbeti oto. Parnastov, it says, Vaidaber Hashem o Moshe leimor, Re'ei karati b'shem b'tzalel b'nuri b'nchur, which means that you have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called forth for this person to be a leader. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, even so, what you could see from B'tzalel is that we will not make someone in a position of authority over the public unless the public is part of the decision. Elohim kenim lochem betzibur. So where do we see that? Shenema. It says, Re'u, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Re'u, kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel. And that means that Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. First, he tells Moshe, take a look, Re'ei. So Re'ei means you have to think about this. Do you think he's a good choice? Moshe, Haguna lecha Bezalel. Amar lo, Ribono Shalom, what are you asking me for, man? If you like him, I mean, you know, for sure I like him. I mean, what is that? No, Marlo says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not the point. Afal Piken, you go and you ask Klal Yisrael if they think it's a good idea. Same way I asked you if you think it's a good idea. So Afal Piken, Lecha Marlo. So Moshe goes to Yisrael. Do you think it's a good thing? You appreciate the fact that Bezalel should be the one in charge of all of this work? Oh, Marlo. Omrulo. So they said to him, what are you kidding? If God thinks it's a good idea and you think it's a good idea, why are you asking us? The Fanenu lo kol shekein, but that essentially is the nature of getting the person that is going to be subject to someone involved in recognizing himself that this is something that I want. I'm not putting it over you. Omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Bezalel, what does he read? Bezalel, in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's called that Hashem Chachmato because he was so incredibly brilliant. B'shah Shemar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. We find in Kitisa, where the entire structure of the Mishkan is reviewed, so it says over there, the organization, this is both Rashi and Tosfos say this, the structure entirely is Mishkan first, and then the Kelim, and then the Begadim, and so on and so forth. And yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu actually gives over the Tzivui in Truma, which is this week, is perfect for this week. Halach Moshe v'hafach. And he said, make an Arayin, make a Kelim. And then he finally gets to the Mishkan. He starts describing the cover and the crashim and so on and forth. So Amalos, so Bezalel said to Moshe, Moshe, you know, this doesn't make much sense. I mean, normally, Adam bone bayit, v'achar kach machnis l'tocho kelim, and you tell me I'm supposed to make first an Arayin, the kelim, and then a Mishkan. Where exactly do I put all these things that I'm making when I finish them before I get to make the Mishkan into which they're supposed to be inserted? Maybe you got it wrong. Shema kach amalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aseh Mishkan Aron v'kelim in that order? Said Moshe to him, my God, were you in the shadows over there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to me? And Shema Betzel El Hayita V'yadata. Now, of course, all of this is nonsense because Lamaisa, the Mishkan, was all packed up in a garage anyway, including the Mishkan itself, all the way from the end of the creation of the Mishkan, which was at Chanukah, until the actual Chanukah's Mishkan, which was in Nisan, right? So there really was no point in saying, where am I going to put it? Because you're going to be putting the Mishkan itself in the same garage that you put the Kelim. So obviously we're discussing a completely different level of the Chochmas Bezalel than what any five-year-old would have said. Okay. So now, Omer, if you know Omer Rab, you should know that Bezalel's wisdom extended to knowing the way, that this takes us all the way back to the nature of Emunah in terms of our connection to Maaseh Bereishis, Mishkan, and the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, which was at the beginning of this whole story. And that is going to lead into dreams, as I will suggest to you. So Yudea Ya Bezalel Tzarefot Yot Shinuvru Bem Shemayim Va'aretz, he could actually put together the machine language of the Bria. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Osios of Lashon HaKodesh in creation, V'ksiv Ocha, V'yamalei Oto Ruach Elohim B'chuchma B'tvuno V'dat. And when it comes to describing creation, it says Hashem b'chokhma yasad aretz, konen shamayim b'tfuna, and goes on to say b'da'ato t'omot nifkau, exactly these things, chokhma, tfuna, and da'at in Bereishis. So obviously, Bezalel utilized the very kechus of Bereishis itself. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten chokhma lo mi sheyesh bo chokhma, shenemar yahiv chokhmata lechakimin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to the wise. He gives understanding to people who have it. Shomar Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arova, he heard that, and he said to Rabbi Abuhu, what he heard, so Rabbi Abuhu said to him, you have to learn it from there. We learn it from the Pasuk in the Torah. What do you have to go to Mishlei for? It says, Ubelev Kol Chacham. It says, "Belev kol chacham lev natati chokhma." If the person already had a chacham lev, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to give him that gift of chokhma. Omer of Chista, kol chalom velo tavat. I'd like any kind of dream, but please do not give me a dream of fasting. So some learn that means a dream in which I was fasting, or others learn a dream which is catalyzed by the types of thought that your subconscious is having when you're in a fast. The Omer of Chista, Chalma de lo mefasha ki igarta lo mekarya. If you have a dream that you don't bother interpreting, it's like getting a letter that you did not read. And it has no impact, because the whole point of your interrelationship with the dream is the equivalent of your interrelationship with a letter. The Omer of Chista, lo chalma tava mekayim kula ve lo chalma bisha mekayim kula. A good dream, it's not going to happen, all of it, let me tell you. And a bad dream, it's always worse than it looks worse than is actually going to be. Not all of it's going to come true. The Omer of Chista, Chama Bisha, Arif B'Chama Tav. It's much better to have a bad dream than to have a good dream, because at least the bad dream can make you very uncomfortable, nervous, worried, stressed. And worry and stress is the best thing that you can have to tear you out of your current complacency. The Omer of Chista, the truth is that Chama Bisha Atzivuse Mistaya. If you've got a bad dream, the pain and stress that you suffer from the dream is sufficient to undo whatever chas v'chalila indications. That tshuva itself is the kapara for the dream. Now you don't have to worry about the dream. And the same thing is true in the opposite. E chalma tava, chenvase mistaye. The joy that you get out of the good dream, that's all that the good dream was worth, was that joy, not the actual events of the dream. And Rav Yosef, who's blind, says, you know, blind people don't have the same type of enjoyment from a vision. And even to me, who's blind, I get so much fun out of a good dream that it doesn't mean anything other than that joy that it gives me. The rest of it is meaningless. The Omer of Chista, Chalma Bisha Kosha Menagda, the stress of a bad dream is more powerful than the physical impact of getting actually makos. God has made things in such a way that people should be frightened of him. And that is referring to a chalom ra, in which we find that we have responses to things internally, and this is the way that we were made. It's the way that the world is. Furthermore, when we say, Hanavi asherito chalom yisaper chalom, vasher devaraito yidaber divrei emet, right, so this is talking about over here where Yirmiyahu was yelling about the Nevi'ei Sheker who were running around and telling people, don't worry about the destruction of Yerushalayim. It ain't going to happen. Comes Yirmiyahu to say, if you really know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then that's what you say. What do you give over this nonsense of chaff? What does chaff have to do with it? What Tevin to Chalom? What's the metaphor? Elam Rabbi Yochanan Mishuman Mishuman Bar Yochai. It's the way things are. Wheat grows. You want to get something useful out of it. You're going to first have to separate the parts that are unusable from the parts that are usable. This is exactly the same as a dream. A dream is mixed with all types of underlying nonsense. If you want to be able to get something out of it, then you're going to have to make the distinction between them. That's the same point. You may get some parts of a dream that will happen. Kulo eno mekayim, because we see that from Yosef. Yosef's like the big story of dreams that we have. Dichtiv hinei ha-shemesh v'ha-yoreach, and the akadasa kochavim. Now, the shemesh v'yoreach means bepashtas, mommy and daddy, right? And then we've got the stars who are my brothers. But mommy was dead. So how in the world could he have really expected that she was going to show up? You can give whatever explanation you want, that it's really a remiss to the Pelegesh and so on, but that's not the point. The point is that what it is that the dream is saying is no longer precisely what you think it means. If you have a good dream, and it's indicative that it's a real dream, you should keep waiting, even if it takes 22 years, because that's from Yosef as well. Figure out when it was that dream, where the Shemesh v'Yareach were Mishtachave, that took until Yaakov Avinu ended up coming down to Mitzrayim. And if you analyze that, here's how it goes. Eilo todot Yaakov Yosef ben Shvaz Rishana. So the story of the dreams begins when he's 17 years old. He's 30 years old, b'omdo lifnei paro. Okay, how many years from age 17 to age 30? That's 13, right? Now, there were 7 years of Sova, where there was still nothing happening with his brothers or anything. Okay, that gives us 20. Then there were 2 years, like it says, Hashnataim Shana Ra'av B'toch Ha'aretz. That gives us 22 years until his father came down and actually did Mishtach V'lefanav. Om Revin Elodim Tov, Ein Marim Lo Chalom Tov, Elodim Ra'in Marim Lo Chalom Ra. Now, this is not Rashi's Girsa. Rashi's Girsa is La'odim Tov, Marim Lo Chalom Ra, V'la'odim Ra, Marim Lo Chalom Tov, which is very different. Tanya Amihaki, Koshno Tavshel Adam, Shel David. David's whole life, he never saw a good dream. And all the years of Achitofel's life, who was his enemy, he never had a bad dream. Wait a minute. Vaksiv, I mean, it says, Lo Tuna, Elecha Ra'a, Amre Chist, Amre Birmiya Barava, Shelo Ya'avil, Chalo Chalamot Ra'im, Velo Yiru Rim Ra'im. This is a bracha to a tzaddik, that he won't have bad dreams, and he won't have Hirhurei Aveira. And then when it says Negaloi Gravbo Alecha, that means so you won't have any kind of problems with your Yetzirah. Maybe your wife is Anita, maybe she isn't Anita. That's a bad state to be in. Anyway, so if it's saying over here that if you're a tzaddik, according to Rav Huna, you're supposed to have a bad dream, that's not what the pasuk is saying. So what Rav Huna meant to say was that not that he himself has bad dreams, but that other people have bad dreams about him. And that's the pshat, so that there's this concern that there's something wrong, that bad things are going to happen to him, and that would be good for him, because then it will end up, they'll warn him, you know, to act in such a way that he shouldn't, chas v'shalom, be affected. Wait a minute, so then that means he doesn't have any dreams, because if he doesn't have these bad dreams, right, So then he doesn't have any dreams, because you said we don't want to show him good dreams because that'll make him too happy about things, you know. So he may become complacent, but is that a malyute? Didn't Rebbe Zera say that if you don't have any dreams, then you're terrible? If you don't have a dream for 7 days, it means nobody wants to even talk to you, Menashamayim. You know, Shenemar v'shava. It's actually Saveya Yalin. Ba'yipaked ra. So if you go to sleep satisfied, nothing bad will happen to you. But don't read that as Saveya, rather Sheva Yalin. If for 7 days you sleep, v'loyipaked, you will not be nifkad with a dream, then you must be ra. Elachikam, Rav Huna meant, was like this. That the Choza, he does have the dreams, but he can't remember them. V'lo yada, my the Choza. Omer Avuna Barami, Omer Rabbi Padaz, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ro'eh Chalom, V'nafsho Aguma, Yelech V'yiftirenu B'fnei Shlosha. You see a dream, and you're worried about it, so you should go, and you should be put to the Chalom as Tov, in front of three people. Wait, you should? You should ask people to be put to the Chalom? Yiftirenu? Omer Rav Chista, didn't we say before that if you don't want something to affect you, don't read it? I mean, for God's sake, you're going to worry for the next, you know, 3 months about the letter that you got from the IRS, you know, the tax authorities. Don't open the letter. What the heck? Whatever they're going to do anyway. So don't read it. So why in the world would you want somebody to be mefasher the chalom if it's el chamadol mefasher, it's kigarta lo makaria? Yeah, you're right. We don't really want people to tell you what the chalom meant. Don't tell them the dream. Just tell them, I had a dream. So, Ela'ema yetivenu b'fnei shlosha. Let the dream be fixed and be turned into good in the presence of other people, three other people. Well, how does that done? I think it's time for me to introduce an idea, because otherwise the rest of the parak is going to be totally weird. Now, the idea is this, that we've been going progressively deeper and deeper in this Masechet, into the underlying nature of Emuna. And this was the meaning of Zroyim Bichlal, is Emuna, which relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Emuna in the world, as Tosfos brings to the beginning of the Masechet. That's why it's called Emuna, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in the world, and that our connection to him is this underlying Emuna. When we get to the end of the Masechet, after having finally gone through not only the direct connection that we have to the earth in terms of our eating and in terms of defecation, in terms of brachas on those things, and in terms of separating between Kodesh and Chol, and the connections that we have all the way back to Gan Eden with the wine and with the bread and the special relationships and amazing things that we've seen throughout this Masechet, we finally get to the most powerful aspects of Emunah. The most powerful aspects of Emunah, we don't know anything about. In other words, we are all built of a sense of our presence in the universe that is 99% subconscious. Most of what we take for reality is this tiny layer that we impose upon the nature of things, and that's our reality. To mistake that for your Emunah in terms of your underlying connection to the world is horrific, because it makes everything dependent on a superficial interpretation of the nature of data that's being supplied to you by silly little organs that really don't have very much in the way of data to give you. And so, therefore, the Gemara considers that the nature of Emuna is most deeply expressed in the subconscious, and it's expressed in complete loss of control of your interpretive skills. And rather, your Emunah can be seen in the way that you experience what appears to be random and disassociated elements of what your neurons, which are just cells in your brain, are presenting, and which you experience exactly the same way that a doggy who's having a dream, or for that matter, an amoeba, in a sense. In other words, what would be the level of experience of something that doesn't have the ability to structure its own reality, but has this strange sense of presence, which comes from the nature of organic wholeness, where it doesn't have das. And this begins the exact opposite of the Yodea Haya Bitzalel, Litzarev Bem Oyser, Shnivrubu Shamayim V'Oretz. It's why it's very, very connected to the Binyan HaMishkan. Creation is a dream, in the sense of its chibur, of the way in which these various osios, now imagine your neurons of your brain as being osios, They're mischaber in different ways that provide for you a sensation and experience of existence, which you take as reality. Waking up from a dream in which you discover that what you took to be reality is something that was totally random and created as a story out of events that were just being presented as an alarm clock that rang or a horn of a car outside or some kind of strange things were interpreted by your brain as going on maybe for days and days on end as an entire story in which as you wake up, you see that it's part of the dream and all of a sudden it becomes reality to you. You realize everything that was happening was just being created randomly. You suddenly realize that there's a completely different level of experience which has nothing to do with how it is that you really put in effort to organize things and to make it meaningful. Now, remember that this is true on a cultural level as well. Cultures end up creating a particular way of looking at things that is so intense and so profound that people within a particular culture, I can't even read, see physically the notes. It's just not kedai unless you want to save it on a chat. I literally can't see it. So the question over here, when this understanding touches you, is what are the fundamental experiences that I have? If you're talking about on the cultural level, it's exactly the same. Remember that different stages of human development had different sets of diseases, different sets of cures, different concepts of medicine that worked for them, different concepts of magic, which allowed them to be literally ruled by magic, which we just would laugh at today, mazikin, foods that are magically destructive, and all kinds of crazy things like the Gemara has, which Tosis points out, don't even think about it because it makes no sense now. It only made sense then, which he calls nishtana ha-teva, but it's much deeper than that. What's nishtana is our relationship to teva, not teva itself, and obviously we know almost nothing about the interrelationships of the subconscious to our experience of reality, even in terms of disease, which is extremely, extremely real and meaningful, as we know from so many different obvious effects of attitudes and disease, including the placebo effect, which has nothing to do with the fact that you believe it works. Even if you know it's a placebo, it still works, which is insane. So the fact is that our touching an underlying nature of the way in which things are without our describing them is a completely different connection that we have to what it is to exist. And on that level, a chalom is much deeper a reality to us than reality. Because over there, we don't experience it as something that we've created. We experience it as something that's profoundly troubling and profoundly real in a way that I prefer not to know about. And it's because of that that dreams often touch on such profound things that we've pushed out of our minds, particularly sexual dreams and dreams that we are terrified of things that might happen to us and so on and so forth. This is its power. On a level of the society as a whole, it's exactly the same. And because of that, and those of you who are part of the Pelegesh Begiva Chabura, this has immense things to do with that, because in a sense, the entire Shoftim is a dream. It's made out of fantastical elements that make absolutely no sense, that are visions that do not take place in a real world, that create these crazy heroes, and again, sexual heroes, crazy, mad people who pick up vast, multi-ton things and walk around with them, get all the girls that they want, do whatever. I mean, it's nutty things, right? And this becomes our vision on a very, very primal level of what it is that it took to make us become an Am in Eretz Yisrael and so on. And especially the closing of the Sefer are stories that are put together with random implications from things that happened way, way before, whether it's in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that suddenly becomes Pesel Micha and the wild story, or whether it's the actual story of gang rape in Pelegesh Begiva, the relationship between the brothers that suddenly becomes active again after all of these years, and the brachas of Yaakov to be, I mean, nutty things. These shouldn't be happening centuries later. And this includes all of the ridiculous miracles that are going on and nutty type of magical thinking that's going on, because this is what it is to be an a state of existence without ability to define it. And the more immature your mind is, in a sense, the more open it is to these types of things. Because of that, the Gemara's insights into the nature of dreams are extremely confusing to us, extremely magical in many ways. The Freudian understanding that we're going to get to tomorrow and so on of various sexual dreams and the interrelationship of the pitronos of chalomos and of what one should do, which has a great deal to do with our overall psychological responses, as the Chazon Ish put it. I used to have these weird, horrific dreams all the time. I never once paid any attention to it. Never once did anything other than saying that prayer that we say anyway during Birkas Kohanim. It never makes the slightest bit of difference. It's all garbage. The question is the understanding overall of the nature of Chalom and how it has to open you up to a different understanding of the development of society and yourself. So a lot of things that we're going to read seem to be like off the wall to us because we do not understand what elements of the subconscious these dreams are relating to. But we're going to end the daf today with an ability to create dreams in other people. And as the Gemara is going to show you, it's the imagery where the person himself has no idea why this imagery was so possible that allows you to create another person's dream if you're smart enough. And this is an unbelievable thing because I guarantee you that the people that were told about the dream that they're going to have and ended up having it did not look up the Marsha to figure out, so why did he say that I would have this dream with a golden scepter? Maybe it should be a silver scepter. All of these looking for Pirushim are nonsensical. The point of it is its imagery and the direct power of the imagery on the subconscious. That's the point, and that's why it will make such an impact. To look up what this means is, in my opinion, is violating the entire meaning of the Perek that's telling us about the nature of dreams. It's not meant to mean. It's meant to be a direct perception of underlying relationships that are beyond our ability, other than as Bezalel's ability of putting together a tziruf of osios, and it isn't meant to be intelligible. So to try to make a subconscious intelligible is to try to reduce chaos to a particular vision that you have, and therefore is simply a waste of time. And what the Gemara is giving us are different levels of relating to that, different ways of understanding how loose the connection is, or how profound the connection could be. And that accounts for the various stiras in the Gemara about the nature of dreams, where the dreams are coming from, how in tune with your own subconscious are the dreams, and all the perushim of the mefarshim that, you know, it depends if it comes from a malach, or it depends if it comes from a shade, or it depends whether it's communication with a shamayim. Those, the Tashbatz even explains that those are all different dargas in the way that a human being has connected to his own mind and how pure his own neshama is, and his aveda has been, to allow him to be honestly connected to the nature of his own being, and therefore it's meaningful. By the same token, say the Mefarshim, based on the Tashbatz, today, I'm talking about hundreds of years ago, dreams don't mean a darn thing, because nobody has any real profound connection to their subconscious, and therefore should simply pay no attention whatsoever to the man behind the curtain, because there isn't anybody behind the curtain. That's the point. So if there is something within you that is truly connected, you'll know it. And then you'll know that that chalom is not just generated by bad vapors from your brain, so to speak, in the Aristotelian sense. Okay, so then this idea of hatovas chalom, again, doesn't make sense. And it's meant, again, to be experiential, and its power is in terms of the experience. Try it, and you will see. That's exactly what it does. So bring three people together and tell them, I've seen a good dream. And let them say to him, Tavahu v'tav lahavi, Rachmona l'shavi l'tav, Shiva zinin ligzer l'chmona shamayim t'lahavi tava, v'yavi tava. So there should be seven times a decree that it should turn into a good dream, and it shall be a good dream. So then that's part of what is said. The Tosfos says it could be that these are not the words that the people are supposed to say. Their instructions to them to say it seven times. Okay. But anyway, this is the preferred way that they actually say this. And then they should say three psukim, in which something is v'nahafachu, which are hafuchas, three different psukim that have to do with pidyon, and three different psukim that have to do with sholem. So the three hafuchas would be like this: hafachta mispedi lemacholi, pitachta sakivat hazreni simcha, oz tismach betula b'machol, ubachurim uzkenim yachdav, v'hafachti evlam lesason. Velo ava Hashem lokech lishmoa el bilam, v'yafoch Hashem et abracha et akala livracha. And then we have three peduyas. Dichsiv, pdo b'shalom nafshi mikravli, ufduye Hashem yishovun. Vayomer amoshul, ayonatan yamut, asher asah Yeshua gdola azor chalila. And so, vayivdu et Yonatan velomet. Sholosh shalomos, dichtiv, borei niv svatayim, shalom, shalom, larachok v'lakarov. Amar Hashem, v'rafativ, v'ruach lavshat amasai, vayomer, v'atem, so he says over there to David, you know, shalom, shalom lecha, and shalom, and so on. And then we have the third one is Amartam Kolachai, Ata Shalom, Betcha Shalom. Okay. Amemar, Marzut, and Ravashi were sitting together. So they said, okay, let's play a game. Everybody has to say something that none of the others ever heard. All right? Okay, who goes first? So one of them went first. Patachai bin Amitzet, somebody who sees a dream, but he doesn't remember the dream. So he should go and stand in front of the Kohanim at the time of the Birkas Kohanim, the Parsi Adayu, and he should say this tefillah. Ribono shel olam, ani shelach v'cholomotech shelach halom chalamti ve'eni yodea mahu. And therefore, ben shechalamti ani la'atzmi, uben shecholmu alai chaverai, uben shechalamti ani alachirim, im tovimem, chaskem, v'yamtzem, kechalamotav shel Yosef, hatzadik, im tzrichim rufua, refaim, kemei mora, yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, uche Miriam, mitzraata, uke chizkiyo, michelyo, uche meyericho, al yedei Elisha. Again, note here the implications of the cultural experiences and the subconscious history of Yisrael to the nature of Birkas Kayanim, who are being mevorech not out of their own brain, but are providing a bracha through them with Ashras Hashchina, which they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And for someone to say, what, I should come here in front of this idiotic Kohen who's a total jerk, and I should listen to his bracha, is exactly the same idea as somebody who says, well, I'm supposed to listen to this dream, is a total jerk. So these, all of these stories are the dreams of early Yisrael development. He should finish the tefillah together with the Kohanim, so then everybody says Amen. They're saying a collective Amen to the nature of Hatovas Chalom. And if, now this is very interesting, because the original tefillah of Adir B'morim, Shechem B'Gvura, Ata Shalom, V'Shivcha Shalom, and so on and so forth, which obviously relates to this, the Shalom and everything, which we say after Birkat Kohanim, the Gemara says, is meant to fill up the space. If you finish saying this tefillah and the Kohanim haven't yet finished, so then you should say, Adir B'morim, Yilo Leimahachi, Adir B'morim, Shechem B'Gvura, Ata Shalom, Shivcha Shalom, Yiratzom Ufanech, Shatosim Aleinu Shalom, we jazz that tefillah up and say it all the time. Potach Idach. Okay, the next Amora to say what nobody else had ever heard was a guy who's going into a city, and he's afraid of meeting an Ayin Hara there. How do you meet an Ayin Hara? Well, you know, people see you, all of a sudden you're exposed. Exposure in a gallery of a rabbim is completely different than your own experience of reality. It has everything to do with chalom. There is the subconscious reality. There's your conscious, intimate, personal reality. And then there's the reality that is formed by society about you that has immense impact on how it is that you perceive yourself and how it is that you're capable. I mean, everybody knows this from, you know, this is fundamental to educational psychology and so on, but this is a much deeper nekuda, which is the equivalent of a subconscious that affects you. So if you are afraid of that, take the thumb of your right hand and put it in your left hand, and then take the thumb of your left hand and put it in your right hand. And this makes about as much sense, you understand. Exactly. That's the point. And lema haki, what you say is like this. I, and you give your name and your father's name, am actually one of the children of Yosef. And Yosef, there was no shaykhis to an ayin hara because it says ben porat Yosef, ben porat ale ayin. Don't read that as ale ayin, rather as ole ayin, more powerful than the ayin. Now, of course, we understand the power of Yosef in all of this. That's why he's so central to the parak. We learn out the dinim of chalomos from Yosef, because that was Yosef as an extremely, in terms of what he's merames for Klal Yisrael, his connectedness to Tzadik Be'Manoso Yichya, his connectedness, therefore, to dreams, his connectedness to the subconscious, his connectedness to sexuality, his connectedness to the idea of the interface between society as a whole and the individual is so profound that he becomes central to all of these types of subconscious experiences. And therefore, what you're saying over here is, I am Mizar Shel Yosef, whether you are or not, or in a sense, everyone is Mizar Shel Yosef, because Ro Eketzon Yosef, Ben Porat Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanino, Omer Miocha. It says about the children of Yosef, Yidgu L'Rov B'Kerav Ha'aretz. Why compare them to fish? Because just like fish are Mayim Echasim Alayim Ve'in Ayin Ra'ah Shaletet Behem. The idea over there of a collective intelligence, which has nothing to do with any interpretation, is so powerful. The school of fish being covered by the Yam, nobody being able to do anything about it, and there can't be shalet on them. Avzar Shel Yosef in ayin hara shaletet them. Now, how about if he's afraid not of other people's ayin hara, but he's afraid of his own ayin hara? So some learn that that means he's afraid he'll give people an ayin hara. But others learn he's afraid he'll give himself an ayin ra'ah, which is amazing. Think about that. There's a simple solution to that. Look at your left nostril. Go ahead, try it out. It requires opening your mind, by the way, to something that you see all the time, but your brain has erased. You always see your left nostril. If you think about your visual field, there's a part of it that is your left nostril and you never notice it. Okay? Look at it. Fine. What was the third teaching? Potach idach v'amar. Haiman decholish. You suddenly are not doing too well. So the yuma kama, you start feeling sick. Don't tell anybody. Because that way, if you say something, that makes it real. Then everybody's thinking about it. Then you're really sick. It's better to pretend you're not sick. Then that, from that day on, you should tell people. Because like Rava, he would get sick. First day, he didn't say it to anybody. The second day, he told people, he told his shamash, he said, go out and make a big announcement. Rava is sick. So people that hate my guts will say, yay, Rava's about to die. That's wonderful. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachamim on me. So they should be happy, lichtelin. It says, bin folo ivecha al tismach. And then, because ubikoshlo al yageli becha, pen yireh Hashem v'rabeinu v'yishiv me'al avapo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be so angry at these people who were so happy that I'm sick, that I'll get better. Ha-ha. So it's not a good idea for them to be happy. And anyway, that would be a good idea. And people that like me, they can daven for me. Mandarachim li, liboy alei rachami. Anyway, let's get back to the dreams. So if Shmuel had a bad dream, so Shmuel would say, who the heck cares about dreams? It's nonsense. Chalamot ha-shav yedaberu. But if Shmuel had a good dream, Shmuel would say, what, you're not supposed to pay attention to a dream? You're nuts. V'chia chalamot ha-shav yedaberu? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, b'chalom ha-daber bo, I speak to my Nevi'im through dreams. Imagine how powerful a dream is. Boy, this good dream must be amazing. Rava points out the stira. It says bechalom adaber bo, and it says bechalom atashav yedaberu. How are you supposed to explain that? It depends on the source of the dream. Lokashakan ayedei malach. If it has meaning, so then it comes through a malach. But then there's the monsters that give you the dream, and there be monsters all filling your brain with monstrosity, and therefore you could have different levels of dreams. Omar Rabbi Bizna, Bar Zavda, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Omar Rabbi Panda, Omar Rabbi Nachum, Omar Rabbi Ram, Mishum Zaken Echad. Who is the Zaken Echad? That's Rabbi Bana. We know all kinds of things about Rabbi Bana. You know, there were 24 dream interpreters in Yerushalayim. The doctor is in, 5 cents, And so I once had a dream, and I decided I'm going to stop into everyone. It cost me a lot of 5 cents, but I paid my 5 cents and peanuts came. I got 24 totally different interpretations. Nothing had anything to do with anything else, and they all came true. A dream just becomes what you think it is. What? What do you mean it says? Where does it say? It's not such pasuk. Are you making up pasuk? Well, it sort of says it, doesn't it? I mean, like Rabbi Elazar points out, right? I mean, Rabbi Elazar says, "Minayin shekol achalomot olchin achar hapeh," because again, by Yosef it says, "Vayikah asher patar lanu kein haya." The way that Yosef talked about the dreams, that's what ended up happening. So apparently, it was a function of the kasher patar. Oh my Rava, I mean, you can't just make it mean anything. It's got to be mifshalim ein chalme. It's got to be a good sense of a metaphorical interpretations. Shenemar ish kechalomo patar. Now it says that the Sarofim saw that it was a good interpretation. How the heck did he know if it was a good interpretation before it actually happened? Each one of them, the wine guy and the bread guy, each one saw the other one's pitaron, so he knew that it was good. Om Rabbi Yochanan, somebody wakes up and finds his mouth filled with a pasuk that he wasn't thinking about. Now, reizu nivu akitana. The Om Rabbi Yochanan, there's three types of dreams that happen. Chalom shel shacharit, because by the time the morning comes, your brain has already finished unloading all of its nonsense from before. And therefore, this is something that is coming not just from the day's events. A chalom that another person dreamt about you, where that person is not filled with thoughts of you the way you're filled with thoughts of you. And a dream where the pitaron of the chalom is shown within a dream. And some say repetitive dreams, shenemar, because Yosef says to Paro, va'ali shanota chalom leparo pa'amayim, and so on. And now we find that it could be the opposite. Om Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Om Reb Yonatan, listen. Dreams are nothing but nonsensical results of your own imaginative thinking. Ein marin lo la'adam el amir hurei libo. Everything that you see is created by your own thoughts during the day, shenemar, because we find Daniel says to the Melech, Ant Malka, Rayonach, Amishkavach, Saliku, your thoughts came before you on your bed. Now, Rashi points out that Rayonach, which sounds like the words Rea, your friends, actually means your thoughts, and not the things that you like necessarily, but that's because your thoughts, of course, are your deepest friends, so that you create this whole friendly environment, which is all in your brain. He also said that, and you can now know what it was that you were really thinking about. Omarava, of course that's true. Look, imagine what are the imageries that you have in dreams. Did you ever have in a dream? Did you have a dream of a palm tree that was made out of gold? No. Did you ever have a dream of an elephant's trunk being put through the eye of a needle and then pulling the rest of the elephant through the needle? Nope, you never had a dream like that either. Now, why do you think you never had a dream like that? Because those are not things that your brain has ever perceived, and therefore you would not use it for the imagery of your subconscious. Said Caesar, these are two brilliant stories, okay? So Caesar says to Rabbi Yeshua bar Rabbi Hananya, you know, you Jews claim to have such profound chokmah, you know, and you know how to interpret dreams. I know the stories about Daniel and Yosef. Basically, interpreting dreams is a bunch of garbage because anybody can say what was. I want you to tell me what I will dream, ha-ha, not what it was that my already had dream meant. Now, that's a challenge. Let's see how smart you really are. So Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Hananya says, I will tell you exactly what you are going to dream about. Now, this was at the height of the interrelationship of the Romans with the Parthians, and therefore he understood that Caesar was desperately worried about how these wars are going to go. So he says to him, I think you're going to see in your dream that the Persians are going to capture you and turn you into a servant for their king. So, Meshachre Locha Parsoi, and what they're going to do with you is they're going to grab you and turn you into a shepherd of pigs. and you will be shepherding these pigs with a golden staff. So he creates this vision. And of course, like, Caesar could not get this out of his mind, a golden staff. Whatever the Ramazim are, we understand how many different levels this touches about his thoughts about what might happen and his own chashivas and so on and so forth. He thought about it all day long, and sure enough, guess what he saw in his dream? And the exact opposite happened to Shmuel, because Shmuel was on the Persian side, not on the Roman side. So he had Shapur Malka. So Shapur Malka says to Shmuel, you know, you guys claim you're so smart. I want you to tell me what I'm going to dream, not what my dreams meant. Says Shmuel, no problem. You're going to have a dream in which you see the Romans capturing you, you know, and they are going to turn you into a grinder of date pits, which, of course, that's what the Persians are thinking about. They're going to be grinding these kashiyata, and the mill is going to be made out of solid gold. Same interesting imagery. And he thinks about this all day long. And sure enough, at night, that's what it was that he dreamt about. Again, and this is what I was referring to earlier, I assure you, that he did not look up the Marsha to figure out, so why did he tell me Dafka a Rechaya de Dahava? Couldn't have been a Rechaya of rubies, whatever. That's not what his kasha was. So that the idea over here of attempting to specifically analyze, which there's so many books on, everybody's got his books for, you know, this is what I sense this would mean this and this would mean that. I mean, the craziest interpretations in which you understand that anybody could come up with whatever number of interpretations that they want, and that's not the point. That's the whole idea. That's not the point. The point is an experience of reality in which the imagery is the experience that goes beyond, and that's Bezalel's Chochmah. It isn't about knowing how to do things on a mechanical level. It's about Sirif Aisyar Shnivubam Shamayim Varetz, which is a totally different level of Amuna. So too as our interaction with dreams and our interpretation of dreams and our understanding of our own selves through dreams and our reactions to dreams and its connection to the overall social dream within which we live and we take so seriously, which is absolutely frightening how rapidly those dreams fade and they're replaced by another dream. And the dreams always seem like absolute reality and become politically correct and the only way to look at the world. I mean, it's beyond belief. In the space of 20 years, you can have something that people are convinced was always correct, was always the way people looked at it, despite the fact that not long before it was the exact opposite. I mean, it's mind-boggling how local these kind of thinking is. But anyway, that's what dreams are about. And there's many, many issues, I must tell you, on this stuff that have a great deal to do with our situation today. And the hints of the types of things that could happen to us that are merumas in the issues of the daf and so on, and what it is that you have to be mavakish me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are all around us. People are not taking them very seriously. And I think never was there a matzav that was more open to chaotic horror than the one that we're in. If you just try to think about worst case scenarios, you don't need the bad dream. Okay, everyone. Anyway, have good dreams. Have a good day. And have wonderful chalamot tovim tonight with all the Urei Leibo. Kol tov, everyone. It's great to see you.